is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Psst. Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
Hi, folks. So right now we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Homera Selye is going to join me from Europe. She and I have been involved with investigating human trafficking on the street and over the internet. And she's been doing it since 1999. I've been doing it since 2000. We have been at the tip of the spear way before people were recognizing what was going on with the internet. And at that point in time, NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, was the entity where people would report any child abuse images that they would find on the internet. Now this was or on the street. And that was an entity that was started in the 1980s as a result of Adam Walsh, John Walsh's son, going missing. And then they set up ICMAC, the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children, who actually commissioned me to do an investigation on human trafficking back in 2000. And Homera is back with us now. Homera is the president and founder of Innocence in Danger. She started it at the UN in 1999. And as a result, decided to go on her own because working within the UN sometimes doesn't get the job done. Homera, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Christine.
So a week ago Saturday, Pavel was arrested in Paris. He's the founder and the head of Telegram. And oh, let me bring in Terry. Hold on for a second. We've got Terry coming in from Paris as well. Terry, how are you?
I am pretty well. How about you?
Good. So Homera Selye, who's the founder and president of Innocence in Danger, is joining us from Europe as well. And we're going to talk about this unusual arrest, is what I'll call it, a week ago Saturday in Paris of Pavel Durov, who's a Russian billionaire, founder of Telegram. And on the surface, everybody started going crazy on the internet because they were talking about, you know, freedom of speech. He has been out there and he has basically said that we want, you know, Telegram stands for freedom of speech. But behind the scenes, we also know that there have been some investigations of Telegram in the past, going back 4 years. I know it to be a fact that Telegram had been investigated. People got in on the inside and made some reports about some bots going out to over of sexual abuse of minors, and they were bots, and it was over 100,000. So although it may look like it's a criminal investigation, it may in fact be an excuse for politics as well. What are you hearing, Terry, in Paris?
Well, there are some different sounds of bells that we are hearing here. Mm-hmm. But on my prospective analysis, I would say that this attempt to shut down Telegram is a sort of blackmail. It is integrated in the dynamic that the European Union is putting together in regard of censorship and control of information. Mm-hmm. Later on, we had Thierry Breton, who is a commissioner of the European Union that has been trying to put together a sort of censorship to shut down the capacity of Elon Musk to discuss politics, and especially in the context of the US election, inviting Donald Trump. So basically, Musk has been quite rude, but I do believe that he was right to do it, because this is a sort of meddling within an electoral process that shouldn't have been taking place within the European Union, because this is none of their business. And actually, from what I've been hearing and seeing also, is that the Congress have been writing to Mr. Breton to tell him that he would be entitled to prison if he dares, in fact, to continue to meddle within, in fact, the election process of the United States. So basically, knowing Emmanuel Macron, I do believe that he has been taking this issue pretty personally, because what they are trying to do in the frame of the global governance that they try to put together is to make sure that the information will be controlled. We are in the middle of the 1984 process. You know the movie, and you understand exactly what I'm talking about.
George Orwell. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Orwell. Here with Durov, the dimension is a little bit different. It is about the control of free speech, but not only. We know, for example, that there is a conflict between Russia and Ukraine, okay? We know exactly why this conflict is taking place. This is because they want to take over the management of Russia, to take over the resources, and to control this country completely, because they want this global governance. And Vladimir Putin is a big wall in front of them. So basically, as there are some military operations that are running in Ukraine, but also later on in Kursk, they want to make sure that the platform is going to be open in the way that they will be sourcing information, in fact, to counterpart the military operation, because they know that the Ukrainians, they are collapsing completely. And actually, it's too late, because what they have been putting together as a process was wrong. And now that Ukraine is a failed state, they think that because they're going to be doubling down in investing, military speaking, in Ukraine, they will be reversing the course of this conflict. It is not going to happen. There is this part. And there is another dimension, I would say. This is a story between Macron and his wife. You see what I mean? So basically, we know that Emmanuel Macron is using very often this platform and to discuss with his wife, okay? So basically, we do believe that Durov has some information that not a lot of people want, in fact, to be spread all over the places. You see what I mean? So basically, if we look at the Durov story, this is a full pretext for three dimensions. He is locked up within our country, but this had major impact on the economical point of view in our country. You know that he has a passport of the Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years ago, there was a very big deal that has been signed between Dassault and the Emirates to acquire 80 Rafale warplane. So basically, because they have been locking down Durov, the Emirates have been deciding, in fact, to cancel the deal. So
right.
this is a losses of $16 billion. So you imagine, for a political reason and spy reason, our country is going to pay a bill of $16 billion when, in fact, this spying story will go nowhere, because we know how the course of this conflict between Russia and Ukraine is going to end.
All right. So, But let me ask you something. You're keeping it on the geopolitical outside of child protection, okay? Because it's not only is the prosecutor's office in France talking about terrorism, they're talking about money laundering, they're talking about minor child abuse images that are rocking and rolling across Telegram. And we know that to be a fact, okay? Because we know that in fact, people will go where they, you know, to commit crimes, they're gonna go someplace where you don't have all eyes on them. So Homaira, how do we balance the First Amendment or freedom of speech with protecting children in light of something like this? Because, you know, we know that there's a game in motion right now globally because of what happened with Musk in Brazil just last night. A judge has decided in Brazil that he doesn't like, you know, the position that Musk is taking. And so all of a sudden, X is not available in the entire country of Brazil, which is a huge market. They're not charging Musk with child pornography. They're not charging Musk with terrorism charges or anything like that. But I mean, how do we balance this? Because you and I have been looking at the internet now collectively for over 40 years. So we know that there's the child protection versus the, you know, freedom of speech.
Well, this is a sort of, if you prefer, this is a sort of a juridical covering operation.
Well, no, Terry, I'm asking Homaira because Homaira's got the background for the internet in the child protection.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Help yourself.
Thank you. Christine, as you rightly said, we have been doing this work, me within Innocence in Danger and you through your investigation since decades. Mm-hmm. And I do not discuss at all what Thierry just said because it's very political. I have no clue about that. It's not my field of work. But I was surprised when I read that Telegram has been, that he, one of the accusation points against Pavel Durov is that on his platform there's child porn being exchanged. Now, we know that France is the third country hosting child porn worldwide.
Right.
We also know that France is a third or fourth country for the consumer, those who use these images. We also know that in France for decades, there has been telecom companies, just to name one, which came across my work, is free. 48% of child pornography material worldwide is hosted by this telecom company, which is a French telecom company. When I was contacted by the Canadian Center for Child Protection, I believe it was in 2017 or 18, I don't remember, they were going to Interpol Interpol their findings about what is happening in France and to ask the help of Interpol so they can investigate those people whose IPs were shown as downloading and disseminating child porn in France and elsewhere using free telecommunications. I met with them. I didn't know that Free is hosting that amount of child porn material. I was unaware of the investigation that this center was carrying out, but I told her with confidence, I told these people, the CEO of a child center, I told her with confidence that I am sure that I will find somebody in France who can listen to me, hear us out, and help us to help them. I came to France and I asked for an appointment with somebody who was back then responsible of internet questions related to child protection. And I went to meet with this person. I did not go alone. This way I was sure that what I think I am not wrong with it. But when I said what I was told in Lyon by the center, I realized that they knew about it. Mm-hmm. Not today, not from yesterday, but from many years ago. And they said that, yes, they know that Free doesn't give out the information. Now, what I would be very painful to think that I had gone to this meeting with a lot of hope and promising these people in Canada that we will help them, but to see that those who are in charge of these questions know about it and are doing nothing. This
so,
is
so that dovetails into what Terry's saying. You know, it may be that they're going after Powell, but at the same time, there's maybe this larger political, geopolitical, because everybody who is a globalist is afraid of Donald Trump being reelected. Now, Terry, do you think? I mean, you know, there's the balance here. People are going to have to explain if they're arresting Durov for communications over Telegram that he is not, quote unquote, isn't monitoring, that leads to a terrorist act or leads to raping a child, but they don't arrest everybody else where this is happening. What does that tell us? How does Macron, you know, think through that illogic?
Are you ready for a scandal?
I'm sorry?
Are you ready for a big scandal?
Oh, I don't care, you know. Tell us what you think.
Let's go for it then. You remember Frédéric Mitterrand?
Mm-hmm. Very much.
The nephew of the president.
Yes.
He was a pedophile.
Right.
Everybody knew about it. Mm-hmm. Where did he end up? Being a minister of Sarkozy. Okay. Jack Lang, minister of culture, has a long history of pedophilia in Morocco. And he was going there with the former lover of Yves Saint Laurent, Mr. Berger, and they were going there. Everybody was knowing about it, and nobody was saying anything. So there is a sort of omerta regarding the problem of pedophilia. We had a lot of stories that has been covered up for the last 10 years, and nobody has been opening his mouth about it. Later on, and this is like very well known if you're searching on the internet, the son of the CEO of the Fitch agency has been caught into a scandal one time, covered by friends of Brigitte Macron, who has been erasing the juridical problem. And there was a recidive. This guy was supposed to go 3 years in jail. And he ended up at home for 10 months with an electronic bracelet. So basically, what is surprising me is that they want to enforce the CEO of a platform to make him accountable regarding, in fact, pedophilia scandal. But in fact, when you are looking at the VIPs, the personalities running around the government and famous people, you can see that those guys, they can run free doing whatsoever they want. So where is the problem? Is the problem the platform, or is the problem the government itself that is closing eyes on major crimes? This is my question right now. You see what I mean? If you look at Facebook, Facebook has exactly the same problem. Why Mr. Zuckerberg is not worried when he's traveling all over the world, meeting with CEOs, meeting with VPs, president, ministers, and so on?
He goes to the Elysee. He has no problem in France.
He has, on this platform, Facebook, there is major problem of pedophilia.
Well, we know that. Listen, I can jump in here with some statistics, having done this for almost 25 years, okay? When I first got into this in 2000, NCMEC in the United States, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, had on average 37,000 reports at that point in time. Today, it's almost 30 million annually. So we know that in the course of the last 25, 26 years, because there's so many platforms, because now we have 17.6 billion phones on the planet, and 62% of them have unsolicited sexual images coming over. We know that this is a huge problem. We also know that there are some people who, in fact, cover up some people at a higher social economic level worldwide. I mean, that's a fact of life. Evil is among us. But, you know, there's a difference between Facebook, who sits at the table in the United States as an American company, although it operates across the world. Zuckerberg pretends to report to NCMEC every year. Now, my understanding is DeRove is not, the perception that's out there is if he will not sit down and have a meeting. In Germany, I think it was maybe 3 years ago, he was asked by the German government to appoint somebody as an official working for Telegram. And he said to them, here's an attorney you can talk to inside Germany. And the German government said to DeRove at the time, that's not good enough. Now, that's what just happened in Brazil with Musk last night. So are you suggesting, Terry, that you think that it's a cover-up because, I mean, it's a cover-up, they're going to go after DeRove to cover up for what other people are doing?
Well, have you heard about what happens in the Bundestag, which is the German parliament, about 6 weeks ago? They have been depenalizing the pedopornography. It was a crime. It's becoming something much lighter. Based on the moment there is no interaction between the adult and the kids, they consider this is not a crime anymore. So where is the problem here? Is the problem the platform or is the problem the legislator? Look at what is happening within the WEF. They are using the WHO to propagate the LGBT trans story and way of life to influence the kids within schools. Look at what is happening within the legislator, within legislation, sorry, in Canada. Trudeau has been setting up laws that forbid the parents, in fact, to complain if there is a show of trans within schools for kids between 4 and 8. You think this is hard to do that? So what I see here is a gigantic trend to impose pedophilia across the world. Later on, I was seeing on X videos of panelists talking about how it should be accepted as a normal sexual behavior to have sex with kids, for adults.
Well, that's the minor attracted persons. There is a movement worldwide. There is a movement worldwide to decriminalize pedophilia.
Finish. Later on, this is a senator in France, a woman, that was saying on TV, on BFM TV, that they need to reconsider the laws of pedophilia within family, meaning incest. And she was saying that sometimes the kids might be agreeing upon a relationship with an adult. If you see the scandal that this has been setting up in France, it was terrible. But they are trying. They are trying, and they are trying again. Look at what happens with Targets in March 2023 in the US. Target has been coming out with a line of clothes for LGBT kids. LGBT kids? What is this?
Okay, so let's get your thoughts on this. What do you think about this?
I
think this is absolutely outrageous. This is outrageous.
Well, it's outrageous, but let's go back to the arrest, okay? Because the reason why we're having this show is about the arrest. What do you think the significance is, Homera, in terms of the arrest now? Because since we do know that there is a global movement to decriminalize pedophilia, to normalize incest, to normalize the sexualization of kids, to have kids, mutilate their bodies without their parents' consent, take puberty blockers. We know it's a cesspool out there, okay? But what does this mean in terms of trying to arrest Durov?
Well, I can only say I don't know where the investigation is going or if it will even go anywhere. I can only say that I find it very odd. And I hope that someday soon Macron or somebody from the French government will have the courage to explain why all of a sudden in what I am concerned, if he is accused of the fact that his platform was used for dealing drugs, then we should also arrest the owner of Mercedes-Benz because the cars are being used to transport drugs. So all this is very abnormal. It is taking people for brains who do not think, who do not see, who do not read. And it is outrageous to have taken the cause of child protection within this, because as we know, the case of Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook are far bigger than whatever we could have found on Telegram. We know that on Telegram, there is a specific button to report child abuse. And I spoke to some persons with whom I work who have reported, and I asked them if what they reported was dealt with. And they say yes, and in a short lapse of time, which we cannot say the same thing about Facebook or Instagram. So for me, what is happening with Pavel Durov is 100% political. I don't know why. It has nothing to do with child protection, because things are so bad in France in child protection. There are so many individuals whose cases of child abuse, child rape, child filming, child everything we know of, who are still you and I. So that is not the reason why Durov was arrested. Now, if there are apparently other reasons for this arrest, very political, then it will... I just find it... really, really irresponsible to mix whatever reason is hiding out there with child protection, because it's luring the people who watch. They think France is actually doing something about these questions, but France is not doing something about these questions. As Thierry said earlier, child education on sexual questions starts at age 4. I mean, what they are taught, what WHO has imposed to countries like France, who is one of the contributors of WHO. So France is implementing what WHO is imposing in this regard. France is not doing anything to protect. We are in courts almost every day. And I can say with confidence that there is nothing done for kids in France, nothing. So it is political, but then it will be out of my range of knowledge.
All right, so let's go to a break, a commercial break here, Todd. And then on the other side, let's discuss the implication of this, because it seems to be almost a runaway train wreck because of what they did to Musk last night in Brazil.
Contagion kit is something new. Can you tell us about that and what's in it and what it's for?
Well, the contagion kit is specifically geared towards a respiratory virus. It includes some of the medications that we've been talking about that are well known to be able to treat respiratory viruses. And importantly, it includes a nebulizer, a way to aerosolize a liquid medication so that you can breathe it into the lungs. Again, these kits are not meant to replace your doctor or a relationship with a doctor. They are not meant for you to fly solo. We have telemedicine visits available if you have any questions about the symptoms you're having. There is a booklet in there as well that supports and kind of coaches you through what symptoms you may be having from something. So these aren't meant to be a panacea to replace everything in medicine. It's a way, however, for people to feel and to be prepared to be at the ready, to be more resilient, and to be more immune from the sorts of intrusions that we saw during COVID, where your insurance company or your own doctor or the pharmacist or the pharmacy was refusing to let people get a hold of medication.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually. And keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and Ira. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Okay, so we're back with Homero Celje, who's the founder and president of Innocence in Danger, which fights for the protection of children worldwide on the internet as well as on the street. And Homero is one of the few NGOs, or Innocence in Danger is one of the few NGOs that is allowed in the French courts to represent the children. Terry Pellet, let's get back to you, though. I want to ask you, do you think, through your intelligence work, do you think that this is sort of, that this arrest of Durove a week ago Saturday, and what they did, basically canceling Musk and X in Brazil last night, is the beginnings of just shutting down communications to control and implement what WHO and some of these Western country want to do?
I do believe it's completely linked. And look at the dynamic that is happening in the world right now. In England, what happens this week? A woman has been arrested and she will be jailed for 6 months because she was claiming in the street, in front of a protest of the people, regarding what has been happening in terms of murder, the three kids that has been killed, she was saying, get us back our country. Just because she said that, she got arrested for complaining about the murder of three young little girls. This is becoming crazy. I don't know where we go like that, but I do believe that the population at a point in time, they need to raise and they need to say stop. Look at what happens during the Olympics with this opening ceremony that was the worst thing I ever seen in my life. What sports is about? It's about youth. It's about effort. It's about a very clean way of conducting your life by going outside, training, and focusing on performance. What we have been seeing during 55 minutes of this Olympic ceremony was a slap in the face to destroy Christianity, but also to insert most of the religions in the world. I have been receiving calls from the advisor of the prime minister of Malaysia. When he saw the ceremony, he was just shocked and say, how this is possible that in France, you have the guts to slap the face of 95% of this planet? How it is possible that the people that has been deciding to set up this ceremony, they did not integrate the gigantic mess that this would be triggering all over the places. And actually, this is even worse because the Olympic Committee didn't do his job. The Article 50.2 stipulates explicitly no propaganda, no proselytism. And what happens here? It was just 55 minutes of a man that has been deciding that the French society should be represented by the LGBT, blah, 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 Q, Y, X, Z, plus whatsoever. This is just insulting the French population. This is insulting humanity. And those guys who are happy to do it. When you see that the mayor of the city in Paris is saying, those who are not happy with it, they can go fuck off. And she said it explicitly in those terms. You can imagine how arrogant these governments and the leaders of the European countries, they are considering relationship of humanity. So basically, I do believe here that there is a gigantic psyops that has been set up to impose us this way of living by submitting the population in the way that they will be accepting any kind of terrible thing, including pedophilia. Because if you look at the policies and if you look at how they are implemented and how they are opening themselves to things that the population will never accept, and they are enforcing it by laws, I start to be scared in regard of where our society is going, where humanity in the West is going. And actually, if you look at the reaction all over the places, this is a big scandal. The ambassador of France in Iran has been convoked by the president to be summoned. So this is just insulting us, and this is projecting an image of France that 99% of the people within this country will never accept.
All right, and Homera, what are your thoughts about this? Because I actually was not, I was shocked at the opening of the Olympics ceremony, but I was wondering what the Olympic opening was going to be, because several months before the Olympics, the sports reporters from all over the world were dictated to by the Olympic Committee, and they were told not to use the word biological male or biological female. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And there were the networks from all over the world and the sports reporters who abided by those guidelines during the Olympics. But it was in our faces, and I thought that the Olympic Committee, which is made up of international people from across the world, would have said, I was thinking, wouldn't somebody have said, you know, this may not be a good idea? What are your thoughts?
But my thoughts are, I had a few, I mean, they were beautiful moments, definitely, thank God, but they were also very shocking moments when it comes to kids, because first of all, there are two or three kids who go on a boat and they disappear in the dark. What is the use of this scene? You know, mm-hmm. Disappear in the dark. There is all these LGBT people who are dressed in a very, in a very unacceptable way for that kind of ceremony. There mm-hmm. is one point where there is a little girl behind the Dionysus guy who is singing naked. There's a little girl and the guy next to her is telling her that she is going to be beheaded. This mm-hmm. is on TV. And then, another symbolic moment is that Marie Antoinette with her head in her hands, when we know that Marie Antoinette was beheaded because of her opinion. So, I mean, the message was nothing Olympic, nothing game, nothing sporty. Again, I agree with Thierry. The world of sports is a world of health, is a healthy world, wants to be that. But this, the whole event had a very dark message that shocked all NGOs I know. And I personally did not let my grandchildren watch it because one of them was at an age where she wanted to watch the ceremony. She was up and so on. But we, when I saw the little girl having the this message by the, in plain sight,
right.
It was shocking. It was shocking. And it is also, you know, I always said we are transformed by what we accept. So if people see this and do nothing, I am not discussing the beautiful parts. I'm discussing the parts which are not dignified for human beings. Then I have to say that if people want this, if they don't want to react, if they don't want to stand up and say, no, this, we don't want this, then that is where we're going. And everybody is going to the same direction.
All right. So how do we balance? Because if we are for freedom of expression, freedom of speech, how do we balance what's appropriate and not appropriate instead of making it criminal? How do we do this?
Christine, it's difficult for an NGO to have the questions and the answers. I don't make laws, but legislations is the only way to have a freedom space where people can express their opinions and where children who are vulnerable are protected. Legislations, we don't have that. We don't have that anywhere. And certainly not in France, because we are still fighting in courts to say that the child, the minor, who is not covered with bruises, was not consenting to the rape he or she just suffered. And the judges, some of the judges, can decide that because the minor, the child, did not refuse. I don't know how he or she thinks a child can refuse a rape from somebody. Anyhow, I mean, we are still there in France. We're still fighting to say under a certain age, there is no sexual relationship in law possible, but we're still there. So for me, what should be there is to, if we have strong legislations, including on internet, then people can express themselves, children at the same time are protected, but we are having not this and not this. And everybody is looking the other side.
Terry, what do you think needs to be done?
Well, I think that we need to leverage awareness of the public. And we need to show them that whatsoever is decided goes against, in fact, the interests of the kids. If you look at this ceremony, and I want to go back to it, what those people, the LGBT community, blah, 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 they represent. They represent the world of the night. They represent alcohol. They represent heavy sex. They represent drug. Are they representing what it was supposed, in fact, to be represented, meaning sports and youth? No. And actually, I am working on writing a letter to Mr. Thomas Barr, who is the president of the CIO. And I am going to tell him that he needs to resign because he hasn't been respecting the chart of the Olympics. And if he doesn't do that, I will sue him. And I will ask my lawyer to set up a lawsuit class action, and whoever wants to participate to it will have, in fact, to reach me in the way that we will put this guy down and he will have to pay major penalties, in fact, to compensate the distress and the insult that he has been putting together in public because he didn't control completely what was supposed, in fact, to be controlled to avoid this disgusting ceremony. Let me finish because it's important. I want to insist on the fact that what they have been putting together within this ceremony is a psyops. They have been putting this disgusting presentation during 55 minutes, and then after they have been shifting to an absolutely incredible show. And therefore, people will be remembering the end of the ceremony, and de facto, they will accept what was presented on the first place. That was a completely controlled psyops that has been set up to influence the mindset and the subconscious of the people all over the world. But within some culture, and I can tell that there is a huge amount of culture that would be refusing this massively due to the symbol that was presented, because it was shocking, and therefore they have been missing the point. But they need to pay for it. And we need to make sure that those people will be understanding our message clearly. And this has to go through a lawsuit, and they will have to pay and to compensate the people for whatsoever they have been doing.
Has there been a poll inside France to find out what the French citizens think of the Olympic opening?
I would, because of the discussion that I have with people, I'm not asking for the polls that were proposed, because this is manipulation. If you want the people, in fact, to accept what was proposed, you just have to pay some people on TV, some journalists, are going to say, oh, everybody is thinking that this is great. But if you look around you and you talk to all your friends and you see the way that they have been reacting, trust me, the perception is completely different. So basically, asking for setting up a poll, that would be difficult. Why? Because the poll is going to be controlled. Mm-hmm. We can do that on X, you know, on Twitter. And this is the reason why I want to thank this guy, Elon Musk, for having leaving us a capacity of freedom of speech. If he had locked up, in fact, this platform, if he didn't buy this platform, we will be in deep trouble. And actually, I want to rebound to the full control that is set up right now. They are very scared that Donald Trump will be elected. They are extremely scared because they know what are going to be the consequences. The story of COVID, you know, I have a lot of things to say, and Todd knows about it because his team has been publishing my book in the US. It's called Ukraine, A Warning to the World. And I've been talking heavily on the COVID story, which was a psyops to kick out Trump of the White House. And now, Donald Trump is aware of this. He has been understanding. And as the advisor of General Vallely, I've been escalating a certain number of information. And I do believe that if Donald Trump and Robert Kennedy are taking over the White House, there will be a huge amount of people that are going to sit on a bench in front of a judge. And I have been appealing to Robert Kennedy to set up a major lawsuit and a Nuremberg of the COVID. And this is the reason why those people, they are very scared, because they know that if the information is circulating, if people are aware of what has been happening and why it has been happening, then they will not be in control anymore. Because where is the problem here is to put a control on the people and to leverage their way of thinking by normalizing it and forbidding them, in fact, to think differently of the narrative that is decided at the highest level.
Okay, Homero, what are your thoughts on the fact, and I find this to be pretty shocking in the United States, most Americans do not realize that the Biden White House wants to put our national health sovereignty under the WHO. And yeah. I don't think people in Europe understand that. I mean, it's not just about Donald Trump. I mean, he just happens to be one person. But there's a whole group of people that you and I know internationally that agree with putting, I mean, who don't believe in the Treaty of Westphalia. They don't believe in sovereignty.
I mean, I think WHO is from day one, when I started doing what I do, when I read some manuals of WHO, before COVID, I was not even thinking about the vaccines. It didn't exist back then. But I just thought in my topics, they do not have a clear stand. They are not transparent. And the way they describe sex with children is very biased, and so on and so on. But during COVID and what came afterwards is just mind-blowing. And so I do think when you also see Zuckerberg just confessed that he was pressured to eliminate and delete the information on the platforms, which was not in accordance with what the U.S. government, Biden-Harris government, was selling to people. So what I think about all this is that WHO has become a very dangerous organization, in my opinion. And I think if there was a thorough investigation by honest entities, I don't know which ones, because, you know, there is big money there. Mm-hmm. For those who comply with WHO, and WHO is receiving funds also, etc. There are too many financial interests in that regard. But I do not trust the organization, and I do not trust whoever trusts this organization.
You know, one of the ironies I found this week was that when Zuckerberg came out and he wrote the letter to the to Capitol Hill, basically saying that, you know, he's never going to do it again. And I thought, what kind of a fool does this man think that we are? People died because he pushed the wrong narrative. And he knows that he was complicit with the U.S. government. He knows that he buckled. He knows that he doesn't have a moral compass. And I'm thinking, how ironic that he thinks that that's acceptable and that gets him off the hot seat. And yet, all of a sudden, we have the head of the founder of Telegram kicked up. Mm-hmm. Because his platform may or may not, but the you know, these are allegations, and we have to say that allegations of his platform being used for terrorist communication, money laundering, child porn images. They're not saying he is a rapist of a child. They're not saying he is a terrorist, but we have the same thing that happened at Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the guy who founded Facebook admitting to it. But he hasn't been arrested when people that as a result of his actions, his corporate decisions, people died.
Yes.
It's extraordinary to me. And I keep on thinking, do these people think that we're all this stupid?
Probably because people do. So I just want to say something, and Thierry, I would love to hear what you were say. But to go back to what you just said and to stay in my field of experience and expertise, if I can say so, in one of the court cases we had to deal with in 2023, and I was hosting the family this summer for a vacation, there were three girls. The three girls were, one was a toddler. They were raped, filmed, and the films were circulating on the dark net internet. Those kids are amongst the kids who were raped very comfortably by whoever that predator is, thanks to Free, because we even wrote to Free. Mm-hmm. We said that in court, when we go to court, the Canadian Center first said that in last December 2023, we had two court cases. One of them was a French man in the north of France who was considered as one of the 10 most dangerous and wanted men in the world. He was doing his whatever he was doing thanks to Free for years. Mm-hmm. And the other guy, the same thing. So what I want to say is that all these companies, they are getting away with what they were doing knowingly, because I'm not saying the CEO knew, but people who are managing Free, they knew that there is no monitoring. They knew that people can hide on this operator, and nothing happened, and nothing is going to happen, because it depends who did what. It's not about the crime, but who committed what some people consider a crime, the other one no. So it's all about this: who did it, who committed the crime.
Well, I say this as somebody who's been investigating these crimes for almost 25 years. We have turned into the Hunger Games. I mean, this is a clash of evil versus good. This is a world where people are commodifying other people, where parents are no longer allowed to be parents and protectors of their own children. And somehow there are people who think that they're going to win this war on the other side of the table. And they may, if, as you, Terry and Homera, have said, if people do not stand up. Okay, we've got 3 minutes left in here. Terry, you get the last word.
Well, you know that what Zuckerberg has been doing is called damage control. He knows that if Trump is taking over, he's going to be in very big trouble. And therefore, he has been trying to set up a communication stunt to clean his hands in front of the public. But I'm asking this guy right now, if he listened to me, can he look at himself in a mirror? All those people, they are part of the same cabal. You see Gates, who is financing, in a major part, the WHO.
Yes.
He was in the story of the Epstein Island. All those people, they are linked to this big wish, in fact, to put a control on population. And the population today, because of the COVID story, have been what we call, you know, if you are scaring people long enough, they will not react anymore. It's like a frog inside of a pot. Mm-hmm. It's boiling, and the frog is just falling asleep, and then it dies. And there is a big need for an electroshock in the way that the population will be reacting strongly. They have a government that has been releasing a virus to kill their own people. And I have been finding the proof of it. It's in my book. All those proofs, they are in the hands of several generals and colonels in the US. I am just waiting strongly for Trump to take over and to put together this Nuremberg of COVID, because this is the key of everything.
Well, no, I'll tell you where I disagree with you. They have to shut down gain of function. Gain of function actually is the group of people who are the coronavirus hunters who go out there to the bat caves, take those specimens back to the laboratories, and then they humanize the mice and they try to figure out what is transmissible to humans. Okay, it's bioweapon research. That's what needs to be shut down, because you would not have the vaccinations unless you had this crazy Frankenstein bat research. And that, well, and that has to be shut down worldwide. The USA owns 25% of the market of this Frankenstein science. We have 15 out of 59 SLB4 labs in the world inside our borders. So I disagree with you. It's not COVID. COVID is a symptom of a much larger industry that has to do, and it's the most unregulated business in the world. It's more dangerous than nuclear, but we don't have any regulations on it anywhere in the world, and we are running out of time. So Homera, you want to say anything else?
No, I am waiting, expecting to have some information to understand what happened with this platform and why the other ones, nothing happened to them. That's it.
We're running out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah. You need to read my book, because I'm talking about all those labs, and I have been pointing the place where they are, which virus they work on, and so on. Read the detail. You are going to be very surprised.
Okay. On that note, guys, thank you very much, Terry and Homera. And we're going to have you back. And Terry, I'll do an interview with you about your book, because I want people to know about these labs. These labs are something that we can shut down. And when they told us all in 2020 that COVID came from the wet market, we didn't shut down the wet markets. And they didn't want us to think it was the labs, because then they would have had to pull the money from the labs. So I'm totally in agreement with you, Terry. And we'll talk to everybody soon. Thanks for watching.
You're going to be surprised big time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christine.